Next, we're over to tradition two, and it's Mikey. I'll hand over to you.
Yeah, hi guys, my name's Mikey and I'm an addict. Thank you, KJ, for asking me to do this and for everyone being here. So I actually like this one because if you actually look at what's on the screen, tradition two is the only one where the long form is shorter than the short form. You know, and the emphasis on these is on the important bit. So the short form is for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. A loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. And in the short form, it's just for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. A loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. And, you know, I was sat here like today thinking about this and I was a little bit anxious because I was like, the other people on this call that are talking about the traditions have been around for a lot longer than me, have a lot more experience on this. And I was quite nervous. And then I get on and I hear that some of the other people are feeling exactly the same, you know, and it's just a human thing, isn't it, really? So I can only talk about what I've learned in my time around CA. And a lot of what I'm kind of going to touch on has been covered a little bit by with what Emma was saying, and what I've kind of come to learn is that in tradition one, you know, this personal recovery depends upon CA unity. It's the other 11 traditions that keep that unity, you know, keep it protected. They're that, like, for me, it's like they're there to protect that one bit, our common welfare and the unity of our fellowship. And it's quite you know, what Emma was talking about is that there is no one person in our meetings that has any type of authority over another, you know, and it's about the collective conscience of the group. And there's two stories in the 12 and 12 that describe, you know, how it's important. But also there's one story that actually explains how it was as a result of this sort of collective conscience that protected the direction of AA originally. Because if you read the story, it could have gone a totally different way. It absolutely could have gone a totally different way back in 1938, you know, 3 years into the fellowship. And we might not even have CA today as a result of that, you know, going a different way. And I think that's absolutely, like, amazing. And I hear a lot of, like, oh, the traditions aren't fit, you know, they don't suit us now. It's like, they work. They absolutely work still 80 odd years on, or whatever it is, you know, or what, 1945 or something. Anyway, they still work. But for me, when I came into Cokehead Anonymous, right, because what I am, right, is I am self-righteous. I am absolutely self-righteous and I'm indignant. And I always, 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 I know what's best for everybody around me. And if only they would do what I think they should do, then I will be okay. Not asked if you're okay, just as long as I'm okay, you know. And in all of my life, what I've done is I've always kind of been drawn to the person that kind of has the authority within a group, because I like to complain about when people aren't doing the right thing and try and change what's going on around me as a serial complainer. I love complaining about people doing things wrong. And this tradition really keeps me in check, right? Because, you know, it describes in tradition two that CA is a democracy. So it's for the people, by the people. We put the people in our group, collective group conscience, whether that's in our home group or in one of the committees that work within our service structure. We, as the voice of the fellowship, put these people into position to best serve us, not to best serve them. You know, obviously it helps them and it serves them being able to, you know, get experience and do what they're doing, but it's what best serves us as a group. And it's important for me to recognize is that they don't always do what I want. Actually, most of the time, they don't do what I think is best, right? And that's where I learn and I grow. Now, it talks about in the 12 and 12 about a guy, they call him John Doe. And he moves to what they call it, Middleton, USA. And there's no AA. And so, and he kind of realizes that he needs other alcoholics to talk to because, you know, his for this reason. So he sets up a group on his own, you know, like, most groups are set up usually by one or two people, and it grows and it becomes, you know, his friends and other people start to come in. But what they actually do is they are making a lot of directive kind of things. They're controlling the group through direction. And it comes to a point where other people in the group are kind of feeling, well, I don't like this because I don't like being told what to do. I like suggestions because to me, a suggestion means do it or don't do it. You know, and I like to have the option of not doing something. but it was quite directive, and these people were kind of feeling a little bit aggrieved. And so when it came round to the elections, these people were voted out. And it talks about what becomes of those people, you know, when you start a group. And it gives the two examples of the elder statesman and the bleeding deacon. Now, I was quite a bleeding deacon. I had this habit, right? When something in a home group didn't go my way, I'd leave and I'd go and find another one. You know, there are people on this call who have seen that I probably had about 10 home groups in like my first year of being around. And it was always because the group wasn't serving my needs anymore. My needs, not the needs of everybody else. It was always about me. And they didn't agree with something I brought up at a group conference, or I didn't like their behavior, or they were too rowdy, or they weren't following tradition, or all of this stuff. So I'd get out and leave, and I'd be like, well, let's see how they do without me. Those meetings still exist and they're still doing quite all right, you know. But I had this kind of a sense of, I'm the most important person in there. And if I leave, they won't be able to survive. You know, because what I was doing is I was putting myself in this position of the ultimate authority. I was playing God. Yet what the book actually tells me is I have to quit playing God because it doesn't work. And it gives me quite a descriptive reason as to why it doesn't work. But I would still think I was doing that. But the group conscience is where it speaks. And it's not always going to be what we want it to be. But there's a story in the back of the book, and there's a line in it that says, nothing, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake. And when I learned that, even like Emma said, when there's things going on that I don't really agree with, or if I put something forward and people don't vote in favour of it, what I have to recognise is maybe that's exactly what needs to happen. And what I've actually found is when you let that play out, let the tape play out, there's generally a learning experience in it. Now, it's either the group learns by its own mistakes, or I learn, actually, I was wrong. And that's where we grow in all of this. And the bleeding deacons are the people that, like I was saying, who are very much like, oh, well, I told you so, it isn't going to work that way. And I know this, and I know that, and you shouldn't be doing that, and I shouldn't be doing that, and you're all wrong, and I'm right. Which for me is like a dry drunk or a using addict. That's what I was like as a using addict, or when I don't work 12-step program. Whereas the elder statement are the people that we learn from, the people that have experience that can say, well, actually, do you know what? We've tried this before and it didn't really work. But that doesn't mean just because something hasn't worked that we shouldn't give it a try again, right? Because we're here to learn from experience, aren't we? You know, but these are the people that people go to. I have them in my own personal recovery outside of a group conscience, where I ring them saying, hey, can I get some advice on this? Because I know they have that little bit more experience on me, and I either take it or I don't take it, you know? But when it talks about these people in service, and it talks about our leaders are trusted servants, they do not govern, we don't always get it right. And it's hard to kind of sometimes recognize when you're being a trusted servant who's leading, or someone that is governing. And hopefully what we hope is that the rest of the group, rather than kind of being punitive and saying, oh, you're governing, you need to get out of service and you need to do that, what they'll actually do is we'll help each other recognize that maybe you're being a bit too, you know, a bit of a dictator here. And this is where the group inventory really helps as well. And this kind of falls through all of the traditions, is we can recognize when some unruly behavior is going and look at as a group, how do we fix this? Because it's really easy to just go, they're not doing it properly, get rid of them. So how do you learn from that? You don't. All you know is you did something wrong, but no one helps educate you on what is better to do. And that's what we're here to do, aren't we? Is learn through other people's experience and then develop our own experience. But it makes me laugh, though, because in step two, it talks about how if you're a newcomer, right, use the fellowship, use the group as your higher power, because God is present in that group. You know, and that is what the conscience is. And it's just us together, all trying to get this the best we can. And we're allowed to make mistakes. We are human. We are fallible. We get things wrong. I get things wrong sometimes more than I get it right. But what happens is, after the first or second time of getting something wrong, I have an experience where I can be like, well, hang on, I've done that before and it didn't work. And this is where the elder statesmen come in. You ring them up and you say, look, this is happening and I've tried it and I'm getting it wrong. Can you give me any advice? And they can be like, hey, listen, we had that in a home group 5 years ago and we did this. And we try that. And if it doesn't work, we find another solution. Because that's what we're here for, isn't it? Is we're here to find a solution to a problem. We're not here to live in problems, because I've lived in problems all my life, right? So it's about looking for a solution. So there is no one person anywhere in our fellowship, and there is an absolutely massive service structure. I didn't know this. I just thought I went to my home group on a Saturday night and that was it. But there is a massive service structure that goes all across the whole of this fellowship, and not one person within that has the right to tell another person what to do. Not one. And this is, you know, what is really important. We can make suggestions. No decision in the fellowship is made by just one person. There's always a collective conscience behind it. And we do that from a vote, because the voice of the fellowship, you know, because I used to get quite intimidated by, oh, the chair and the chair of area and delegates and trustees, because those titles sound like they have power and authority. But all they're there to do is make decisions based on our voice, the members' voice at that home group. That's why our triangle is upside down and the groups are at the top, because the collective voice of the fellowship, in line with a conscience, you know, connected to God, is the ultimate authority of our fellowship. And we're here to help carry the message to the still suffering addict. That's it. So there are some questions. There are some questions which I'm going to move on to, because I'm that person when we read about in my home group, I'm like chuckling because I'm like, no, I don't do that. No, I don't do that. Oops. Maybe I should. And it's really good because it helps you recognize what these traditions actually mean and what it is we can be doing. So am I supportive of my group's trusted servants? Not always. Honestly, not always, but we take time to learn about that and see. And it's over time that we see that maybe what they're doing is right and what they're doing is wrong. But again, we're not here to punish anybody. We're here to help them learn. Do I trust the group process, including group conscience, sharing decisions, voting elections, etc.? Absolutely. But I didn't when I came in, because I'm like, why do you get a vote and I don't? You know, and when you learn more about the fellowship, you start to understand this sort of stuff. Am I willing to do CA service work? Well, if I wasn't, I wouldn't be sat here with you guys today, really. That's the truth of it. I love CA service work. It's the only thing that keeps me out of trouble, really. Do I accept responsibility for my 12-step work and my CA commitments? 90% of the time. Like, sometimes I get things wrong and I have a bit of a hissy fit and throw my toys out the pram and like, I'm not doing it anymore. And I become a belligerent child. And I make decisions I eventually regret. But, you know, we learn from these experiences. Do I ever perform service work anonymously? So this is a tough one. Because like Emma said, prestige. I want you to know I'm doing really well. Look at me, I'm the chair of this committee. But no, I try and do it my best. I just get on with it now, because it means that I don't have to talk to people as much if I just get on with it on my own, you know. But, you know, it's a bit of this and that, really. Am I able to support a majority decision opposed to my own? Now, this is a difficult one for me. This is a difficult one for me, because sometimes I feel quite justified in why I'm right and you're wrong, but I am still able to support that that's a decision that's made, because it's like what I said earlier, nothing happens in God's world by mistake. And when I can see that maybe that's just the right thing to happen just for right now, I feel better at supporting that decision. Do I feel the group conscience is informed? Now, I didn't understand the importance of this, and it's only doing service outside of my group, actually, where I fully began to, been able to understand the importance of this. And this is why, whenever things are coming that are for a vote, right, we have a discussion, we have a debate for and against. And this is where we present information, facts. If it's anything to do with finances, we present like quotes and expenses and all of this stuff to make sure that when I'm voting, I have all the information at my disposal to make an informed decision. And actually, I have the right to vote in line with that. And if I don't feel I have enough information, ask questions. It's really important that we're making a decision that may affect a group, that we ask questions before we make a vote. Do I refrain from sounding off on subjects which I know? Oh, Jesus. No. But I live and learn. You know, I learn and I find out information. I know things. That this is why I do this stuff. I love information. I love finding out about this stuff. And I go to people that, like the people that are in this room doing this study, and I ask them. I find out information. I'm the person that likes manuals and books and all of that stuff. I find it exciting. But if I don't know something, I just ask. There isn't a stupid question, apparently. I think I've got a couple of them, but people are just nice. Am I able to perform CA service work without seeking personal reward? Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I do like a bit of recognition from time to time for a job well done. I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, you know, people saying, oh, you did that, good job, or that was an amazing event, or thank you for doing that. But when you're out there going, well, I did that too, or if you don't get the recognition you truly believe you deserve, standing up at a microphone event going, actually, I was on that committee too. No, thank you. No, thank you. Anyway, so that's it, really. So it's important to just remember that no one person makes decisions for this fellowship on behalf of this fellowship. It's through the collective conscience directed by God. And I'll leave it there.